Our next speaker on Senegal is Katie Grimes, also known as Catherine. Katie is currently a program officer at IntraHealth International for Western and Southern Africa programs. She received her MPH from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in maternal child health after spending time living and working in Senegal. Her research interests include international sexual and reproductive health, LGBT health, HIV/AIDS, and gender-based violence. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you all very much for coming today. I am honored to have this opportunity to present my research with you. My name is Katie Grimes, and I will be speaking today about Islam and contraceptive decision-making among urban Senegalese women. Before getting started, I would like to state that I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So I will begin by providing a brief overview on Islam and family planning and the relevance in the Senegalese context before introducing my data set, my sample inclusion criteria, and the analysis I ran. Afterwards, I will present my results, relevance, and what it means for future programming and research. As many of you know, religion is a significant cultural factor capable of influencing contraceptive decision making. This can occur through the normalization of certain values or beliefs and can in turn affect behavior or behavioral intention. Now, Islam is no exception. We see internationally that women who identify as Muslim are less likely to use family planning, have a higher threshold for family planning acceptance, a greater desire for more children, and exhibit higher fertility than their non-Muslim counterparts. Now, the reasoning for this is not entirely understood. We know that Islamic law is not explicitly against family planning. However, throughout the world, Muslims report that they are unsure of Islam's stance on family planning. So in light of these challenges, it definitely makes sense to utilize religious or community leaders to proliferate family planning acceptance among Muslim populations. So evidence of Islam's importance in daily Senegalese life is omnipresent throughout the country, and findings in the Senegalese context are pretty consistent with international trends. We see that many are unsure of Islam's stance on family planning, and women who report religion to be very important in their lives, so exhibiting higher religiosity, are also more likely to believe that condoms are forbidden by religion. Findings from the 2005 and 2010 DHS demonstrate that despite widespread familiarity and knowledge of contraceptives, use remains low. So in 2005, use was only at 10%, even though over 90% reported knowledge of at least one modern method. And that contraceptive use did not increase that much in 2010-2011. It only increased to 12%. So Senegal's National Family Planning Action Plan, the goal is to increase that 12% to 27% in 2015. And the way that one of the ways that they are attempting to do this is to identify, select, and recruit religious leaders to promote the benefits of family planning. So given this disparity between knowledge and use, high religiosity, and mixed messages on Islam's stance on family planning, I was interested in finding out whether or not religious or community leaders actually do influence contraceptive decision-making among urban Senegalese women. So the Measurement, Learning, and Evaluation Project collected data in 2010, baseline data, in six different urban centers in Senegal. And I assisted with midterm data collection in 2013, and endlined will occur very soon in 2015. And a total of 9,614 women of reproductive age were interviewed. And of those 9,614, my sample comprised 5,930 women who are sexually experienced, have heard of at least one method that could have been modern or traditional, fecund, and not pregnant at time of interview. My outcome of interest was contraceptive use at the time of interview, which was determined by asking, do you or your partner currently do anything to prevent pregnancy? And we found that 48% of the sample had never used a contraceptive method, and 27% actually were using some form of contraception at the time of interview. So women were asked if they heard a religious or community leader speaking about contraception in the 12 months prior to interview, and if those messages were positive or negative. And based off of their responses, I categorized women into one of four groups. They either heard nothing or no reported exposure, which served as the referent group. They reported exposure to negative messages only, positive messages only, or both positive and negative messages. Sociodemographic and religious social norms variables were included in the analysis as controls. And after testing for collinearity, these four religious social norms variables were included. So how religion influences your family planning decisions, God alone decides family size, should religious or community leaders be speaking publicly about family planning, and can you use family planning even if your religious leader does not approve? Initial analysis included descriptive statistics, adjusting for clustering and weighting, and multivariate logistic regression examining the relationship between my outcome and primary predictor variables. Comprised two models, the first one controlling only for sociodemographics, and my second model also including those four religious social norms variables previously mentioned. We see that 73% of the sample reported no exposure to a religious or community leader speaking about family planning the 12 months prior to interview, and the same percentage of respondents reported hearing positive messages as negative messages. Okay, as we see in the upper left-hand pie chart, vast majority of women, 94%, believe that the number of children a couple has is up to God. And due to lack in variability, this actually was not included in my regression analysis. However, despite this overwhelming majority believing God dictates family size, only 38% believe that religion influences their family planning decisions. 81% of women believe that religious leaders should be speaking publicly about family planning, and 70% of the sample had enough self-efficacy to state that they could use family planning even if their religious or community leader did not approve. So as a reminder, Model 1 is only adjusting for sociodemographic variables, and Model 2 also includes those religious social norms. And I have highlighted the odds ratios that were significant with a p less than 0.05. And we find that regardless of the type of message being disseminated, women who report being exposed to a religious or community leader speaking about family planning exhibit greater odds of contraceptive use compared to women who do not report exposure. And the odds ratios for the religious social norms variables were all significant compared to the referent groups, but they were not surprising in degree or magnitude. So to recap, there are many misconceptions about Islam's stance on family planning, which suggests that involving religious or community leaders in programming could combat these misconceptions and gain acceptability at a local level. My research demonstrates that the type of message didn't matter, only the fact that women remembered being exposed to a message about family planning. So this could imply that engaging religious or community leaders in family planning programs in a way that will increase exposure could be beneficial to increase the odds of contraceptive use among urban Senegalese women. Now, while some of the great strengths of this sample are the fact that it is urban and longitudinal, the results could have additional explanations. Could be a product of recall bias in that family planning users are more likely to remember hearing messages that religious or community leaders have to say about family planning compared to non-users. And as all of you are interested in public health, I'm sure I don't need to express the fact that we can never infer causality, because it's not clear if those who are reporting exposure were already using or intending to use family planning before they were exposed to these messages. And finally, while understanding the rapport between exposure and contraceptive use is definitely important in an urban context, they are not nationally representative. So we don't know if motivation to comply with religious or community leaders is going to be stronger in rural areas. So remembering that 73% reported no exposure to hearing messages about family planning, there are many opportunities to engage leaders in family planning discussion in future programming. Also, understanding the settings where women are receiving these messages, especially compared to men, is going to provide insight on how best to reach these urban women populations. And this can be achieved through qualitative analysis, which will also enrich our understanding of the quantitative findings I have just presented. Oh, sorry. So ultimately, though, what I want you to take away from this is to remember that Islam is not necessarily a barrier to successful family planning programs. There has been considerable advancement in many other countries with high Muslim populations, and also we have reason to believe that contraceptive prevalence in Senegal has indeed increased since that 12% in 2005. And so it's not a matter of if we will achieve these goals, but a matter of when. So thank you for your attention. I welcome any questions in the panel following presentations.